There are many things that happen to us in many ways. And oftentimes these events that occur in our lives are referred to as epochs. When we study history, there will always be some events that will be referred to as an epoch. And that simply means that from this date or from this event, from this occurrence, there will always be a marking of time. There will always, from this date, a change in human beings, a change in our culture, a change in the entire world. I remember some epochs in my lifetime, such as the beginning of World War II, December the 7th, 1941. I remember men coming home in flag-draped caskets. That marks an epoch in the lives of the family. And I remember when all the world broke loose and singing that the war had ended. So my life has many epochs in it. I remember when I was saved. I remember my baptism. I remember the morning in Lakeview Baptist Church in Miami, Florida, when I surrendered to preach. This morning, we want to look at three epochs in the life of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've been given only a fragment of divine information about Jesus. And I think that John explained it best when he wrote concerning information that we may have about the Lord, that there are, according to John, this has been a great morning for me. I've got one more left. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the whole or the books that were written, that should be written about him. We've heard such a concept set in music, and it's a beautiful, beautiful hymn. But I want us to consider this morning these three things that, when brought together, they are the fundamentals of what we refer to as the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are the birth of Jesus, about which we have sung this morning. And I want to mention the life of Jesus and an event that gives us some idea as to who he was while he lived on this earth. And then, of course, the death of Jesus. And when we compound these events, they contain a truth that gives to us eternal possibilities. Simply stated, Matthew wrote, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise." That is, this is how we understand by divine inspiration the birth of Jesus. It was an exclusive birth, for he was born of a virgin, and he was born of the right woman, Mary. He was born in Bethlehem, the right town, because it had been prophesied that from Bethlehem nations would be blessed. And Jesus was born at the right time. As Matt read this morning, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. We hear nothing more of Jesus and the life that he lived, but we do understand from the scriptures that it was not without event. The Bible tells us in Luke, the second chapter, in verse 40, and the child grew. He grew physically. And he waxed strong in spirit. He grew spiritually. And he was filled with wisdom. And we do understand that he did debate with the learned rabbis, and they were astonished at what he knew. If they had simply known who he was, they would not have been astonished. For he is the one who created all things. And a very simple statement, and the grace of God was upon him. That's as much as we know about Jesus from his birth until he was 12 years old. The scriptures also tell us, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And that's all we learn until Jesus makes public his ministry in the first miracle when he changed the water to wine in a wedding of some of his friends. Then we read of the death of Jesus, which is the concluding epoch. Though I know he did many, many things between 12 years old and when he announced himself as the Messiah, and also many things in those three and a half years that he lived on the earth. But the Bible tells us, and when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And it, again, I state that it was the right man that they crucified there, Jesus the Christ. No other man could have been crucified there that would have done what he did when he died, because the death of Jesus Christ was redemptive. It was in the right way that this man died, because Scripture had prophesied, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, and Jesus was hanged on a tree. And it was for the right reason, for the right purpose, and that is for the redemption of all mankind. And so putting these things together, of his life that he lived, we cannot deny that something else happened to Jesus, and that was he was resurrected from the grave. For an angel announced to those who had come to see where they had laid Jesus, he's not here, for he is risen. And from these facts and these truths, we learn what Paul said when he defined what we refer to as the gospel. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, and that simply means the good news. The news that should bring joy to the hearts of people who are broken, guilt-ridden, repentant people, who know that they lack something in their life that they themselves cannot give, that there must be something done for them that they cannot do. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good news for bad people, which I preached unto you, which also you have received. So the gospel is something we receive and not something we do, because what the gospel needed to be done was already done, and we simply accept the finished work of Christ. And Paul said, and wherein ye stand. Today we stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, by which also you're saved. We use that word so much, questioning people that we're concerned about as to their eternal destiny. Are you saved? And a jailer asked that question. It's a legitimate question. What must I do to be saved? And Paul, who has articulated the gospel of Jesus Christ, knew exactly what to do. For it said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Paul said, you shall be saved if you keep in memory what I preached and you unto you, unless you've believed in vain. That is, if your belief was not from the basic elements of your very character. There are a few individuals who did recognize who Jesus was. We learned Wednesday evening that Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed him, and then said of his holding that child, O Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What a precious baby, who by his life and death would deliver us from the consequences of the most dreaded enemy that man has ever had, and that is death. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And there we have the message that saves us from eternal death and from the eternal displeasure of God Almighty. We've heard enough gospel this morning to save the world. And as we stand and sing a hymn that many of us have heard, and we recall even in the youngest years of our lives, and it articulates so well what we must feel, and that is, we might hold the Lord in our hands, but that would not save us. We might hold the Lord Jesus in our minds, but that would not save us. We might hold the Lord God, Jesus Christ, in reverence, but that would not save us. We might hold the Lord Jesus in admiration, but that would not save us. Until we open up that which is deepest and most vital to us, even our very souls, and by faith and fear trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will not be saved.